Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 1. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Isn't that something? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Watch therefore, for you don't know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Somebody say hallelujah. Verse 5 says, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Have mercy. Boy, we got to be able to learn a lesson from that. So let's take a look at 2 Peter for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified version of the Bible. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. 2 Peter 3 and 9. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about his promises, about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. So you see, let's look at it again. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. Lord, we thank you for this word today. Lord God, we've been praying over this word for a few days, and we've just been asking, Lord God, that you would just minister to our hearts, Lord God. Speak to us, Lord God, so we can grasp what it is that you want to say to the church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So here's the thing. The delay of the bridegroom, the delay, the fact that he didn't come in the time that they thought he would come, it kind of lulled them into a false sense of security where everybody fell asleep. And it's dangerous to fall asleep when you should be on watch.
Amen.
So I want to speak to you from the topic, check your oil levels. Check your oil levels. There are three stages to a wedding in this day. There's the engagement, the betrothal, and the marriage. Although we don't operate that way today, this is the way they operated during the time of these 10 virgins. There are 10 virgins because they say that 10 was a number that the Jews used most often. They would not circumcise without 10. They would not marry without 10. They needed 10 witnesses. And so in the engagement process, listen, this breakdown will bless you. In the engagement process, it is a formal agreement made by the fathers, which means a covenant is cut. that this father is going to give his daughter to the other father's son. In the betrothal, it is a ceremony where mutual promises are made, where the bride promises to be faithful and loyal to the bridegroom, and the bridegroom promises to take care of, be faithful and loyal to the bride. In our salvation, we see something very similar, in which although God is both of our fathers, that God has brought us and Christ together. And there is an agreement made, come on, y'all, between the two parties. Promises are made in an engagement where Jesus promises to save us and to keep us and to deliver us and to cover us and to care for us. And we promise, watch this, to live for him until he comes again. Yes, and then there's the wedding, the marriage. It's approximately 1 year later. 1 year later. Everybody say 1 year later. 1 year later, when the bridegroom came at an unexpected time to get his bride. This is where we find the 10 virgins. We find them in the period of time where about a year has passed, and now the bride begins to get herself ready for the coming of her husband. It's set up this way, y'all, to where about a year after the engagement, that the bridegroom at an unexpected time would show up to get his wife. She never knew exactly when he was coming, but based on the passage of about a year's time, she would begin to prepare herself for the coming of her husband. You see, none of us in this room know when Jesus is coming back. But based on the seasons, based on some of the things that Jesus threw out last week in the message, and some of the things that the scripture said will be signs of that time, we should be more and more daily preparing ourselves for the time that he would come. See, the problem is that since he hadn't come yet, many of us have gotten relaxed in our lifestyles, and we're not living for the Lord as if we could meet him tomorrow. We've somewhat fallen asleep. We're not as charged as we once were when we first got saved. We're not as conscious of our lifestyles as we used to be. We're not watching our conduct and our words and thinking about how this reflects on holiness and what God requires and what pleases God as we used to be, because we've been here for a while and everybody's been saying that he's coming back, but it doesn't look like anything is changing. But if you look around you at the landscape of life, the Bible gave us some hints and some clues that would say men will be lovers of themselves, and that children will be disobedient to parents, and there will be wars and rumors of wars. Come on, it said, but don't you be afraid, because the end is not yet. He said, until this gospel is preached all over the world, he said, Jesus will not come back. Well, guess what, y'all? Through Twitter, Facebook, the internet, the gospel is going all over the world. Today, there are missionaries going into places where the gospel has never gone before. I don't know about y'all, but I think it's about time that we get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. It's about that time that we stop being a relaxed church. It's about that time that we stop being a sleepy church. It's about that time that we become a church that is excited and ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our bridegroom. Let the church say amen. Amen. Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. According to the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, in the Holman Standard Bible, which says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing by the water of the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. You see, in the scripture, according to Ephesians 5, the church is the bride of Christ, and Christ is the bride.
we've already been through betrothal, and we've already made our way through the engagement. Now we're waiting on the marriage. He is coming back for his bride. He said in his word before he ascended back to heaven to his disciples, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. He says, listen, I wouldn't have told you this if it wasn't true. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Come on, y'all. There's a house for everybody. Now, let me tell you something I learned about the many mansions. What I learned about this is during the year's time, the husband would be preparing himself to be able to take care of his bride. So he would go back to his father's property and he would work on a house for him and his wife. And so he would leave her to go and prepare a place, come on y'all, for them. And then once the house was completed, he would leave his father's house and he would come back to go get his wife so he could take her to the prepared place. I come to tell you that Jesus promised that he was creating a place for you and I. And when that place is ready, when that place is complete, Jesus is coming back to get a church without spot or without blemish, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with his righteousness and his holiness, and he is coming back soon. But we don't know the day. And we don't know the hour. Here's our problem. If we knew when he was coming, we prepare our house. So the problem is, since you don't know when he's coming, you have to always be ready. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, always be ready. Since we don't know when Jesus is going to crack the sky, every day should be lived like this is the day. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm living to live again. I'm living to live again. So here's the key to it, y'all. He says, I'm going to prepare a place. We got to believe that. And he says, if I go to prepare a place, he says, one day I'm coming back for you. I'm coming to get my wife. I'm coming to get my bride. And these 10 virgins are part of what you would call the wedding party. They signify professors of faith. They signify a group of people who say they love God. They made a profession. And they're in the wedding party. Help me, Holy Ghost. They are part of this wedding celebration, supposedly. They're with the bride waiting. Let's be careful that we not just be with the bride, but that we be the bride. Let's be very careful that we're not just a part of the wedding party, because the wedding party won't marry the bridegroom. So the purpose of these virgins, somebody say the purpose. The purpose, I didn't know it was 10, but God gave me 10 purposes. Well, that works. 10 virgins, 10 purposes. Here they are. Purpose number one, meet the bridegroom. Amen. That is their first purpose. They are waiting to one day meet the bridegroom. Second purpose, wait for the bridegroom. That's their job. Their job is to be with the bride and wait on the coming of the bridegroom, because she is anxiously awaiting the return of this man that she's supposed to marry. She is ready to leave where she currently lives and go back home with him. Let me say this. Let me stop and say this. You can't be so in love with where you are that you're not excited about where you're going. You can't love earth so much that you don't want to leave it for heaven. This is not our home. We're just here until he gets back. So everything he gives us, It's just for now. Somebody say it just for now. Say this house is just for now, but I'm going to a mansion in a minute. Listen, listen, let me tell you something. We're tripping off of gold and jewelry and platinum. Man, God ain't sweating that stuff. You know, in a little while, you're going to be walking on gold. In a little while, you're going to go through a gate, and the gate is made of pearl. I wish I had a witness here. You ain't going to be sweating nothing that nobody got to say about you. In fact, you ain't going to care nothing about your reputation, because you're going to get right there with the 24 elders and you're going to cast your crown at the feet of him who is holy, holy, holy. Somebody say, I'm excited about going to heaven. Paul was so excited about going to heaven. Paul says, I can't make up my mind whether I want to stay here with y'all and preach or whether I'm ready to check out of here. Paul says, I want to stay and preach because I know it's a blessing to you. He said, but there's another side of me that wants to go on to heaven. He said, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Second purpose is to wait for the bridegroom. The third purpose is to wait on the bridegroom. Don't get waiting for him and waiting on him. Don't get them twisted. They're not the same. To wait for him is to wait on his arrival. To wait on him is to serve him. See, a part of their purpose is to serve the bridegroom. When the bridegroom would come, they were supposed to serve him. And see, they served him, until the bridegroom got back, their service to him was serving the bride. Amen. Everything that they did for the bride was serving the bridegroom. Oh, God help me. All of our service in the church is actually our service to the one who's coming. Everything that we sow into ministry, everything we do when we bless our enemies, when we bless those who curse us, we're really blessing our bridegroom. Every time you live for him, you're really serving the bridegroom. Come on, I wish I had a witness here. Every time you lift your hands when you feel like crying, you are serving the bridegroom. So see, take your focus off of people. Take your focus off of politics. Take your focus off of all this worldly stuff. And remember that everything you do as unto the Lord. He says, even on your job, don't you work as a man pleaser, but he said, do your work as unto the Lord. You are here to serve the bridegroom. The next thing that they're supposed to do is look for his return. Somebody say, look. Look for his return. The fifth thing they're supposed to do is long for his return. So while we look for it, we long for it. Like waiting on the city bus on a 100-degree day. You long for the bus. Yes, ready to get out of here. Yeah. We're supposed to long for the coming of Jesus. Yeah. While we look, we're supposed to long for it. We don't preach about that. No. About having a desire to see Jesus come back. Maybe many of us don't long for it because we feel like we're not ready yet. And we get so connected to what's on earth. Earth starts being too much fun. It starts having too much value. We'll work 40 hours for a check and don't pray an hour. Oh, Lord. Talk to me, somebody. Amen. Long for his return. Desire to see him. That's the job of these virgins. They're supposed to want and desire to see him. In fact, they're supposed to love the day of his return. Every time they think about the fact that he's coming back, it ought to make them more and more excited. They ought to get happy. Every time they think about the fact that Jesus is coming back soon, it ought to bring up some type of enthusiasm in them. It is not a gloomy day for us. It's a great day for us. Yeah. The book of Revelation is not a scary book for us. The book of Revelation is a book of our triumph in Christ Jesus. No more crying. No more sickness. But we'll be with him reigning forever. We're supposed to expect the day of his return. That's the seventh purpose. Expect the day of his return. Eighth purpose, be ready for his return. Ninth purpose, live their lives like he's coming back.
Wow.
And the tenth, light things up until he gets here.
Amen.
Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You're supposed to be lighting it up. That's what these torches are for. That's what this oil is for. This oil is the fuel for your light. And until he gets here, you should be lighting up wherever you are. I can't preach. I don't know about that evangelism. And shine. Shine. Live the way the word says we should live. Shine. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, shine.
Shine.
Come on, tell them, get your shine on.
Get your shine on.
We're talking about swag, but we need to talk about shine. They're supposed to live their lives like he was coming back. These virgins, during this season, everything they did revolved around his return. Everything revolved around his return. What are we focused on? Did you know that where your heart is, that's where your, where you spend your money and where you spend your time shows what you love. Because we won't invest money nor time in something we don't care about. Everything in their lives revolved around the bridegroom. Everything. And now it seems that that's an inconvenience. What do you mean you want my life to revolve around Jesus? I got a life, you know. You wouldn't have a life if it wasn't for Jesus. Do we realize that everything we have, he blessed us with? And then the blessing begins to take precedence over him. There was a time in this engagement relationship when we never let anybody come between us and him.
Amen.
You remember when you were newly engaged?
Yes.
Talk to me, church.
Yes.
You remember when you first got saved? Let me take it back there. When you were newly engaged, you wouldn't allow anything anybody said to keep you from your man. Then after a while, we get with some people who disgruntled in their relationship, and they start to make us disgruntled.
Amen.
But we have to live our entire life as if the bridegroom is going to come any day now. Let me give you the description so we can go ahead. First description, here's the description. It's very simple. Five wise, five foolish. Not five holy and five sinners. Five wise, five foolish. Five operating in the wisdom of God, five operating in the flesh. Five doing it God's way, five doing it their way. There is a way that seems right to a man. But the ends thereof are the ways of death. Five wise, five foolish in the same wedding party. One group of ten, and they split straight down the middle. seems to me, Julian, that if you were going to have a wedding party, it all be made up of the same kind of people. But what you do is you let whoever want to come and wait, come wait. And at some point, it's going to be revealed who is who. We're worried so much about making the division. You don't have to make no division. Trust me, when the bridegroom comes back, we're going to know who was who.
Amen.
So all are welcome to come, sit with the bride and wait. All are welcome to come and clap their hands and stamp their feet. All are welcome to come and take up one of the 100 chairs in the sanctuary.
Yes.
But not all will go with the bridegroom.
Yes,
oh, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Five wise and five foolish, that's separated. But let me tell you what they had in common, because they do have things in common.
Yes.
And this is what makes it scary.
Yeah.
This is what makes it scary. The scary part is not the fact that they're five wise and five foolish. The scary thing is you can't really tell them apart yet.
Come on. That's good.
The scary part is that you might be foolish thinking you're wise.
Amen.
Because everybody around you looks like you. Hey, so do both. Sunday. Because we all doing the same thing. We all clap the same way. We all say hallelujah the same way. We all take a lap around the church. See, everything starts looking the same. We learn the language and we learn how to act and we learn the mannerisms and everything looks the same. The problem is that half are going to get in and half are going to be locked out.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you what they had in common. This is really the scary part. They were all waiting with the same purpose. They were all waiting on the bridegroom to come. Somebody said everybody was waiting. Everybody was waiting. They were all waiting. And then the other thing that they had in common is they all fell asleep. They all got a little lazy because he was delayed in his coming and it seemed like he wasn't coming back yet. So I'm just going to sit here and see. The thing about falling asleep is, you know, that thing will take you over. You ain't got to go somewhere with the purpose of falling asleep. But you know you done it before. You done ate a good meal on a Sunday and went and sat down in front of the TV and said, I'm going to watch this game. And then you wake up and it's another game on altogether. You don't even know what happened. You don't even know when you went to sleep. Can I get a witness here? I told Brother Dylan the other day, he called me. I called him to check on him when it was snowing in Atlanta. He was coming from North Carolina. I was concerned about him. So I said, Brother Dylan, I said, you call me when you get home. Now I'll be up. Pastor will be up. He'll be waiting on you now. And I went and I sat in the bed. I sat in the bed. I sat in it. Come on, y'all. I sat in the bed. I didn't go. I didn't lay in it. I sat in it to watch an episode of Frasier because I like Frasier in the evening time. And I was watching Frasier. And the next thing I knew, it was about 2 in the morning. Somebody say 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning. 2:30, 3 o'clock, somewhere around there, and I was no longer sitting in the bed. I was laying in the bed. I don't know how I got laid down. I don't know what happened to me. I was sitting in the bed, and that thing I knew, I was looking up at the ceiling, and I said, Lord, how did I get here? And then I remembered he was supposed to call me. I went and I checked the phone. He had already called me. I missed a call, y'all. And then he told me the next day, he said, I got home. I told Don, I said, Don, the Sandman got him. I guess he did. I guess he came and got me, and he laid me down and put the covers over me, too. I don't remember none of that. See, the thing is that sometimes while you're waiting, if you don't do what's necessary to stay awake, you will fall asleep. Because he's taking too long to get here. So I'm going to relax. So see, you don't fall into sin, just fall. You relax your standards, then you fall. You start hanging with people you wouldn't normally hang with. You start going to places you wouldn't normally go. And you start saying, well, this is all right. I'm not going to go all the way. I'm just going to do a little bit of this. I'm just going to dabble in it a little bit. And before you know, you're overtaken with it, sleeping, knocked out. It only takes one compromise. And it's always in a little thing. So they might have been walking around worshiping before the bridegroom came. And then they said, well, I've been standing too long. I don't know why this praise and worship team won't hurry up and sit down because my feet hurting. And all y'all always talking about stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. That's so that we don't nod.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
The worst thing we can do is come to meet him and fall asleep on him. They got too relaxed. And they succumbed to the culture. A couple of people went to sleep. They say, well, it must be harmless. She went to sleep. So I guess I can get me a little nap too. So they all went to sleep. The other thing they had in common is they all heard the cry. The bridegroom cometh. They all jumped up. Wiped the sleep out their eyes. Trimmed their lamps. I mean, they got their lamps ready to burn some more. They all jumped up. And the last thing they had in common is they all looked ready. All 10 of them looked ready for the coming of the bridegroom. We have the benefit of knowing 5 of them weren't. But they didn't know that. They thought they were ready. So they, when they fell asleep, when they could have been making preparation, when the bridegroom came, their lack of preparedness was exposed. Can I say something to y'all?
Yes.
You don't wait until a crisis comes to get ready for a crisis. You don't wait until something goes wrong to start praying. You be filled with prayer so that when it comes, you're ready for it. So we don't wait until we hear the trumpet sound to get ready for Jesus. We use every moment we have now to keep our oil levels high. Check your oil levels. Check them. Check them. Check them. You see, before the cry, they all looked the same. But at the moment of the cry, the differences were revealed. And what are the differences? What are they? Here are the differences. The differences are in how they thought and how they lived. It's in their paradigm.
Yeah.
It's in their paradigm. It's in the way they think. It's in the way they operated. They operated totally different from one another. It's totally in the way they think. In the way they think drove the way they lived. See, 5 of the virgins said, the oil in our lamps will not be sufficient if the bridegroom takes longer than we expect him to take. And 5 of the virgins said, well, I'll just take this little bit of oil that's in my lamp, and this will be sufficient enough, because he said that he'll be back in about a year's time. But see, just like coming to this church, every now and then there's a train, and I wish I had a witness here. And if you sit at that seat, if you get in your car and you ain't got but an eighth of a tank of gas, and you say, that'll get me to church, but you get out there and that train got you stopped and you don't cut your car off, you're going to be right there at the train track and unable to make it to the church. That's what happened in Atlanta. Folk didn't have their gas tanks full, and when they sat there for a while, moving a little bit, inch by inch, they ran out of gas on the side of the road, and they complained and blamed the mayor. But ain't the mayor's fault you didn't have no gas. Paradigm, how we think. This is enough. I don't have to do no more. It don't take all that. Y'all too radical. Y'all not balanced. Y'all so sold out to the Lord. All you do is talk about Jesus. All you do is live for the Lord. Come on, it don't take all that. You ain't got to live all that way. You know there's grace. The Lord understands. The Lord understands my heart. No, you know what we say? The Lord understands my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. When he comes back, he's got standards that's got to be met. And if you don't meet the standard, you'll be standing right outside the house saying, the Lord know my heart. Well, I ain't got to forgive nobody. I just don't have to forgive. I'm grown. Well, don't forgive then. That's okay. Cool. Why he won't open up? He knew I had all. I tried. You ever went somewhere and somebody has a policy? You ever went somewhere and somebody has a policy? Raise your hand. You ever went anywhere where they had a policy? And then you wanted them to break the policy because you weren't. You wanted them to break the policy because you weren't in line with the policy. And then you got mad at them. And said they could understand that such and such was the case. I mean, so and so and so. I mean, the least they could do. No, that's their policy.
Yes.
They don't have to change it.
Jesus.
You see, the wise thought about the future. So while living in the moment, they prepared for the future. The wise thought, well, if he doesn't come back in the amount of time we think he's coming back, we better bring some extra oil. Because we're living in the moment, but we still have to think about the future. Amen. Jesus ain't back yet, but he's a-coming. Look at your neighbor and say, he's a-coming. The foolish only thought about the present. So they not only lived in the moment, they lived for the moment. That's a revelation right there. The foolish only thought about the present. So they not only lived in the moment, they lived for the moment. There's a difference between living in the moment and living for it. When you live in the moment, you can't do anything but live in the moment. You're not in tomorrow. You're not in yesterday. You can only live in right now. But you can live for the future. You can get yourself ready. How many of y'all, when you go to the grocery store, you only buy for today? Some of y'all do. How many of y'all buy for a couple days, a week or so? You don't even know if you're going to live tomorrow or not. You might go meet Jesus tonight. But we're going to spend $300-$500 on groceries so we can have enough to last a week. Why don't we just put $2 in the tank like we used to? Y'all remember? Give me five on pump two. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? Give me five on two. Y'all remember them days, right? Let me put five on two. The reason you don't put five on two now is because you know you might get to work. But you probably won't get back. See, how in the world can we have that kind of preparedness in earthly things and have no readiness for the spiritual? No readiness. We know the devil gonna come. He ain't here now. He ain't messing with you now. But you know he's coming. And you let your oil run low. You let your spirit get low. You ain't spent no time with God. No time in prayer. No time fasting. No time in the word. But when the devil comes, now we scrambling to get our Bible. It's too late. He's up on us. Somebody say, check your oil levels. Check your oil levels. These ladies, they living for right now. I got this oil in this lamp, and that's enough. And it was cool until he came. And they looked just like every other virgin up until now. And that's just the beginning of the problems. That's just the beginning. Because their oil was low, so were their lights. Because as the oil burns off, your light starts dimming. So we're wondering why it's so dark where Christians are.
Jesus.
We haven't been keeping a watch on our oil levels. We let our light, we let our oil go low, now our light low. Now we look just like everybody else. We're supposed to be lighting it up. Remember, that's one of our purposes while we wait. Light it up. But we let our oil get low, and our lights are burning low. Now stuff that couldn't even get to us when we had a full with oil, that stuff couldn't even get to us. Now stuff that couldn't get to us is messing us up. See, because we used to go get that oil every day.
Amen.
I wish I had a witness here. Well, we go to the Lord every day. We go every... Come on, I wish I... Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But it says, be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, see, so you can't just go one time. You got to go again. Somebody say, I need a refilling. I read two commentaries. One commentator said that the oil represent the Spirit. One commentator said the oil represented grace. And I said I could kind of see both of those, because every day you need a refilling of the Spirit of God. You can't go today with what you used yesterday. Oh, God, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need to make it through Sunday. And when I wake up Monday, God, I need a refill. Hit me again. I need some more. But then the other one said it's the grace of God. And I don't know about you, but you need the grace of God every day of your life. Somebody say, I'm depending on God's grace. And I can't live on Thursday. On Wednesday's grace, bless God. So I'm going to say, God, give me the grace to make it through today. And I don't want to argue about whether it's grace or the Spirit. All I want to do is point out one thing that's very significant. Whereas one group, all of them had a filling, the five wise got a refill. They do enough to know that if I put gas in my car one time, that ain't going to last me a lifetime. I hope none of you are those dangerous people who ride around without checking your gauge. And you're out of gas and it's a surprise to you. Oh, y'all laughing. That's making Pastor worry about you just a little bit. Because I'm praying to God that y'all don't mess around and need to go somewhere in a hurry. I'm praying that a storm don't come, a hurricane is not forecasted, and you done messed around and ain't got no gas, and people lined up a mile down the road, and the gas stations run out. Come on, I'm talking about in the natural now. Make sure you check your gauges. Make sure your levels are good. See, you don't want to need the grace of God and need the power of God and need the unction of God and don't have it. And we certainly don't want him to come back and then be running around trying to get ready. I'm almost done. They were refused. Here's where the problems really get bad. They were refused oil by those who had it.
Wow. Yes.
Those who had the oil, they went to them. Hey, give us some of your oil. We Christians. We in the same, we church family. We church family. You're supposed to share. The Bible says freely it's been given to you. Freely you're supposed to give. Them virgins said, oh no. No, I ain't giving you my all. Lest there not be enough for us and you. I ain't got enough all for you too, baby. You got to go to the distributor for yourself. You got to go to the one I went to. You ain't get my all. You ain't getting my oil. I'm sorry. I love you. Peace be with you. But you ain't getting my oil. You had the same opportunity. But here's how I bless them. I thank God for them. You know what they didn't do? They didn't belittle the foolish. They didn't belittle them. All they did was turn them down. I'm sorry you make a compelling offer, but I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to need to have enough oil for myself.
Amen.
And what I have will not be sufficient for the both of us. But if you do go to the distributor, you can buy some. He's still open.
Amen. Amen.
They never put them down. They never say, you silly.
Oh, Lord.
Now, you knew he was coming. And you knew we don't know when he's coming. So the least you could have done is got your lazy self down there to the distributor. I mean, you saw me with extra. They didn't do that. Church, that's not for us to do. Listen, let me tell you something. They already broke up. You don't have to do nothing else. They are as convicted as they can be. They're in a panic right now. Oh, Lord, what we going to do? He's here, and our lights are going out. Oh, Lord. I mean, yeah, sometimes you got to say no, mother. But look at this. They said no. And here, their problem's getting worse, y'all. See, first thing, let me show you what set this off. They didn't bring enough oil. They didn't keep a check on the oil levels. You know if you got the light on, it's going to burn oil. Come on. But because their paradigm was off, they didn't act properly. So it leads to this position. He's here. We got no oil. Lights are going out. It's like Steve Harvey said. It's out. But get this. It gets worse. They say, oh, we don't have to worry. The other virgins, they have extra oil. They go to them and they say, no. It's a bad day, got worse. It's getting worse now. Because when the bridegroom got there, they were out of position. They were out of position when he arrived. Why? Because they were down at the oil man trying to get more oil. So the bridegroom comes, gets the five wives. Now, it looks odd that there's not 10, but he doesn't ask any questions. He just takes the ones who are ready. And he goes into the wedding with the five that are ready. And he closes the door. Now, if you think they're having a bad day, it's about to get worse. Now they get back to the house and there ain't nobody in the yard. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So they run to the door. Lord, Lord, let us in. He comes to the door and says, wait a minute. I want to read what he said. Because, wait a minute. Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. If he had said you can't come in, that'd be one thing. He said, I don't know you. And he said, assuredly. He said, I'm confident. I don't know you. Let us in. Come on, man. Everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, will not make it into the kingdom. He will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. He just refused to let him in. Here's what makes this story sad. I know y'all saying, what? I want to tell you what makes it sad. They spent all that time waiting to miss what they were waiting for. That's what makes it sad. They spent all that time waiting just to miss what they were waiting for. You know what's going to make things sad? Is that Christ is going to come and people will have been hanging around the bride for a lot of years. But because they're not ready, they're going to miss him. And we have to make sure that we're not in that bunch. We have to be certain that we are living our lives as if Jesus is really coming back. That just because the culture is relaxed, we don't get relaxed. Just because they're sleeping, don't mean we go to sleep. We make sure that we are relying on the grace of God. You know that grace piece? You know how I see that, Brother Dylan? That grace piece is where we get to the point where we're no longer relying on God, but we're relying on what we got. Yes. See, we're relying on what we already did. Right. Well, I already did this, 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 and this. I don't have to do nothing else. I can just kick back and wait on Jesus to come back. But the problem is there's daily grace. We need to be in his presence daily. We need his spirit and his strength. Come on, talk to me. Daily. We are the ones who signify to the world that he's coming. We are part of the bride. We're in the wedding party. When they look at us, our lives should be a wake-up call to the world that Jesus is coming back. We're the lights. But if we let our oil levels get low, we're not shining. We're depressed. We're struggling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're barely making it. Where we used to be triumphant and strong, we are now weak, and our lights can't shine. Check your oil levels. Every day in his presence. Every day in his word. Every day like he's coming back today. Living every day on purpose. Loving your neighbors. Loving your enemies. Doing good to others. Living according to that word. Not compromising in any area. Not allowing our own flesh and our desires and decision to override what God has called us to do. And how he has called us to live. You know how the world's going to want to get saved? They're going to see us. Yes, our sermon is in our light. Yes. Before you even have to open your mouth, the way you live is what's going to draw people to Jesus. So we close with the scripture we started with, but we read it from another version. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. He's waiting for his bride to get ready. And we're already, get this, we're already in the church. But we have a responsibility. We can't just be in here just waiting. We've got things that we're supposed to be doing. Let the church say. Amen. He uses virgins because they represent purity. They represent holiness. And that's what we're supposed to represent. The purity and the holiness that comes through the blood of Christ. Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you for the word that you spoke to us today. Thank you for the charge and the challenge for us to live ready. Thank you for convicting our hearts in the areas where we've fallen asleep. I pray, Lord God, that as a result of this word, that we'll live every day as if it were the day. For you are coming back. For your bride, a church without spot or blemish. We are your bride. But until that time, may our lights shine to your glory. drawing men and women, boys and girls everywhere to the coming of our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please give God praise in the house?